Welcome to Lack of Focus, an X-Wing miniatures game podcast brought to you by Dice 8 Productions. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another episode of Lack of Focus, episode 25-24-ish. No, it's actually episode 24. I am your host, Ed Horn, and alongside me tonight, our producer extraordinaire, one Mr. Chris Sheriff. Chris, how's it going, my friend?
Good, thanks, Ed.
And my opponent and nemesis in Magic the Gathering, one Mr. Sean Dorsey. Sean, how's it going, my friend?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I feel like we were just talking yesterday.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Because we were. Okay, so obviously we had a little bit of a flub up with the schedule with the way things happened last week. Of course, we ended up trying to get at least a minimum of a game out for you, and that was kind of episode 24. So we're going to kind of do a redo of episode 24 and kind of go over the stuff that we're supposed to cover for our regular show. So on the docket tonight, of course, we've got some Wave 5 stuff. I've got games played that I can talk about, which is going to be amazing. And, of course, we have a bunch of listener questions that we posted up on Facebook that we're going to answer. So we're going to roll, just keep rolling throughout the show. This is going to try to be a quick one, you know, quick for us. So no breaks or anything like this. We're just going to kind of roll into games played. So I know, Chris, you and I have quite a few, but Sean, I don't want to disparage the fact that you may have games. Let's go in your direction first. Do you have any games you want to discuss over the last couple of weeks?
Not in the last 2 weeks. I was busy doing a couple other things and just physically not capable on the other days. So this has been a dry 2 weeks for me. I plan on getting some in next Saturday with my son when he comes over. So I'm on that outside looking in on the games.
Yep. No, understood completely. I've been there plenty of weeks. All right, Chris, so I know you have way more to talk about than I do. Why don't I kind of let you go in on yours? Because I know at minimum you have one game to talk about that I can key in on.
I think so. We played a game, which
we
was
did.
Where My Thing Would Start Up. So I'll save that for you, and then we can have a bit of a back and forth on that one. But basically, I'll run over the premise of the list I was running. So I'm doing the Poe Dameron and three A-Wings. And I've
deceivingly
changed.
Difficult to kill A-Wings.
I'm undefeated for that archetype at the moment. I think I've played 4 or 5 games with it now, and it's pretty flexible. I'm enjoying it. I've been running Poe, Lulo, Tally, and then Zari. I've stuck with Zari. That pilot hasn't changed, but like the upgrades have. I dropped some of the heroics down and tried.
Isn't that a shame?
Well, I'm still convinced that it's not really worth it, so
we might as well go into it, because we're going to keep cross-pollinating on conversation. So yeah. Obviously, if you checked out the previous episode, which should be up on YouTube, because we're kind of in a conflevel trying to get things together, we decided we're just going to throw together a game on Vassals. So, of course, I was trying out the Fat Han list, the new and improved revised Fat Han list. And, of course, I was playing up against this list. I'm still convinced that the Fat Han list, there are some legs to it. I just had, A, no luck, and B, you did a really good job in turn zero with keeping the rock spread out so that Han's ability wouldn't proc nearly as often. but even whenever you land A-Wings on a rock and I'm firing at them at range one, no hits.
Oh,
Han,
I landed one A-Wing on a rock once.
Okay, yep, this is true.
Don't you make it sound like I did it all the time.
Oh, no. That was just in the opening exchange. And from that point forward, I was chasing that A-Wing literally all game.
Yeah.
Handing you, I guess I should probably kind of go over the list. I should probably pull that up now that I'm thinking about it. Give me 1 second. This is so unprofessional as I pull this up.
I'll just cover off my list then while you do
sure.
That. So I had Poe Dameron with R2 Astromech, Black 1 title, obviously the configuration, and then heroic. I had Lulo Lampara with heroic and crackshot. I had Tally with heroic and crackshot. And then I had Zari with heroic and squad leader, I think. I'm pretty sure I never actually used squad leader, so it was quite irrelevant.
I think you used it maybe once.
Yeah.
And then after that, it didn't matter.
Yeah. But it was an interesting, because my original plan was I wanted to drop the last A-Wing for resistance transport when that comes out, but it's all points dependent, so we'll have to see.
So it's kind of like a placeholder for that.
Yeah.
So of course I was using what is his name? The guy that won the UK Nationals. It's not even Nationals
anymore. Jack Mooney.
That's it. So I was basically using a carbon copy of his list. And if you haven't heard it, it of course it's Han Solo with Trickshot, Luke Skywalker, Kanan Jarrus, R2-D2, engine upgrade, and inertial dampeners. Of course, this is leveraging the fact that FFG ruled that indeed that Kanan Jarrus does interact with inertial dampeners, so you can pull the stress off, and R2-D2 can at the end pull off and add the shield, so you can almost do it indefinitely. The only other ship in the list, of course, is Jake Farrell, who's running Lone Wolf and Outmaneuver. And unfortunately, whenever you hand Chris Jake within the first
two turns, literally two turns, this first engagement.
Yeah. My mistake, of course, I think in that game is, and we had talked about it post game, was that I had sent Jake in one direction and Han in the other, and you're like, all right, well, if I'm gonna take Jake, I'll just take Jake, and then it leaves my entire list against Han, which was the right answer. In a future game that I'll talk about later, I kind of kept them a little bit closer and trying to be able to, you know, have his innate ability of passing focus tokens to Han. That's the whole reason why he's there.
Hold this focus.
That's his whole purpose in life at that point. So losing Jake early obviously meant it was a 4-on-1, and I don't know how many red dice I threw at one A-wing that just never died.
My entire plan was I placed as many of the rocks on my side of the table as I could, and you kind of bought into that because you put one in the middle, which is pretty much where you're going to start with Han anyway, placing the biggest thing in the middle. So I dragged where you wanted to be onto my side of the table, and then went as fast as I could forwards to engage you on your side of the table where you didn't have any rocks.
Keeping in mind that in the setup phase, you took my rocks, the biggest rocks, and put those in the corner. So I had to rush to that corner to even attempt to use Han's ability. So well played for a turn zero kind of play.
Yeah, and I think people really should try and go back and watch a YouTube video, because I do think we had some good stuff in that. I kind of talked through what we were doing as we were doing it as well. And then I would analyze it at the end. But I got Jake. I don't think you had a way of getting him out. The only thing you could have done is kept him close to Han. So I was always going to bum rush Jake and see if I could kill him.
Not the way that I deployed, and I lost that game quite literally when I set my first aisle.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest with you, that is indeed what lost me the game.
Yeah. And obviously, you got unlucky that I got three ships to shoot at Jake turn one, or in the first engagement. But he did die. Whereas there's every chance he limps away with one and stuff like that. And then that put the onus on you that I had points then. So I don't need to fight you anymore. I can just run away and shoot you out with my butt guns with the A-wings. And then, what are you going to do? And it played out pretty well. I think you had lots of good learning moments. And
absolutely.
I figured out that A-wings are cheating. So, it was all good.
It was good. So, but that continued on. It wasn't just me that got to suffer the wrath of that list, correct?
No. So there's been a couple of gimmicky lists that I played against. So I'm not claiming that I'm all conquering with the list at the moment, but I defeated what was it? Some really weird list. An X-wing, triple X-wing, and one A-wing I played against last night. It was running Lieutenant Bastion, two Black Squadron pilots, and a Greer. Is it the Initiative 4 A-wing? So resistance on resistance training exercise, and he had HLCs on all of the X-wings, and I let him. I was like. Zari came around and was like, oh, there's no way he's turning this way. That'll never happen. So I just boosted instead of focus boosting. Then he turned into Zari, got the HLC lined up, and I rolled triple focus for my dice. And I'm like, nope, should have taken that focus. but then he did the exact same thing as you. He got Zari down to one health and then chased him for the rest of the game. Whilst I just killed a ship, and I didn't. I gave up. I gave up half points on Zari, half points on Wulo, and that was it. And that's pretty much been the tale of it. People chase Poe, and then you just like, okay, I'll slam away this turn, regen. I'll go again and regen, and yeah, well, look, you don't even have half points now. That was fun for me. I'm glad you put all that effort in. Let the A-wings kill you. Or if they turn onto the A-wings, you five forwards, boost, rotate the arc to a back, and then chip away with your butt gun. And yeah, it's been pretty fun. So I'm kind of on the fence now about putting the resistance transport in when it comes out. I'm definitely going to try it because that was the entire reason I built the list. But having the three A-wings is just cheating. They're so good.
Yeah.
They need to go up in points. Like, we'll have to do. So the June 6th is the release date. So,
Fair point. We should bring that up. That is
yeah.
going to be, is the
Yeah.
official release date for wave four and the points adjustment, correct?
Yeah. Well, there should be points out by then. So I don't know if we're going to adjust points at the same time. But
Well, we have a second points adjustment coming. Is that correct?
yeah, I believed it was in July, but we'll see.
Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah, you're probably
But
right. I'm doing my math wrong.
we should probably try and get the over under done for this one. Probably try and do that on the next show, maybe.
Heck yeah.
So we get it out in time for. I'm just looking at a calendar. It's over here.
For those of you watching, he's actually just pointing in the air.
Yeah, because of calendar there.
Gotcha.
But yeah, we'll do another over under. But yeah, so I played what's the games where one of my ships was extremely ineffectual, but it didn't matter because the other ones carried the day. And I tried pattern analyzer on Tally and Zari. So I was like, no, not pattern analyzer. Advanced optics. The one that does the turn a blank to a hit by spending a focus result.
I think that's advanced optics.
Yeah, advanced optics. But I'm not convinced. So I keep rolling blank focus, and I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, I'm supposed to get two hits if I take this upgrade. Why, oh why? But yeah, like the last shot of the game was in the last one was like, okay, I'm gonna turn this blank to a focus, this blank to a hit instead of my focus because I want to use this upgrade. So I hadn't managed to use it for the entire game because it was either like hit focus or woe is me, I don't have to use my upgrades. But yeah. And then he blanked out and died, so I was all happy. Yay, I'm so good at the game.
Yay!
Oh, that
So
was
any
it.
more?
So I
Oh,
mean,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
one of the lists I played against was three Star Vipers and two escape
Ooh.
crafts.
Ooh.
So it was like really, really good right up until you realize that he's spent 200 points and his highest initiative is three. So my lowest initiative is three. So I was like, okay, well, you can move first with your really, really slippery Star Vipers, and my entire list can be aces. Sorry. Sorry, Will.
Well, not to mention the fact that he's got two escape craft, which means that he's got two falcons and he spent money to do that list.
I think one's his and one's his son, or he borrowed another one or something, but
Ah, okay, gotcha. All right, well, we'll
yeah,
give him
it's
credit for
fine.
that.
It's fine. But
Not that I disparage anyone for wasting money on plastic ships that just sit around and do nothing. I'm not one to judge. I'm really not.
But it did say it was a fun list and it looked interesting to fly. But when it's all about, repositioning and getting your stupid Star Viper bank barrel rolls and everything, and like, this feels good. And it stops feeling good when I move with perfect information. So I just shot everything past his Star Vipers, blew up both escape crafts, and I was like, okay, what should we do now? But he was one of the players who latched onto. I dangled Poe right in front of him. It's like, oh, look at that. You got two shields off Poe. Better kill him now. I promise he'll still be here. Oh, he's running.
Oh.
Oh, is he just out of arc? You'll get him next turn. You'll get him. Oh, you were so close. Oh, he's regen one, Mister. Oh, is he regen two? Oh, he's back to full. Sorry.
Sorry. And in the meantime, half your list is gone.
It's so funny. So, moral of the story: don't go after Poe if you can't kill him. Do what I did against Ed. Find the easy points and take them. I've got an initiative 3 A-wing that costs like 40 points. Just kill it. It's easy.
Yeah, when dice cooperate, it's easy. But
if you've got more than one ship shooting at it, it's easy.
Well, that's true. Well, technically, with Han's ability, it's like having two ships shooting at it.
But even if you get if you've got two ships shooting and they both chip one damage through, that's half points.
Correct. All right. You blew up my analogy. Thanks.
Yeah, it's okay. So that's me. I've talked for long enough about me playing X-Wing. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so the only other game I want to talk about, of course, is I went over to see our long-lost co-host, Chad, who is still in recovery from having some medical procedures done, and he was in a mood to play some X-Wing, so we sat down and played some dining room table X-Wing. He still ran his Vermeil... Vermeer, Pure Savak, and Vader, and of course I took the same list, except this time on the table. Having learned my lessons from playing Chris, of course, I did my rocks a little bit better, did my deployment a little bit better, made sure Jake was around to pass focus tokens to... and I didn't, in case anyone is wondering, of course, since Chad's not been on the show, I don't know how much he listens to it. If he does, hi Chad, how are you?
Hi Chad.
I don't know how much this is a show, so I didn't want to surprise him with the list. So I quite literally went through each individual upgrade and the steps and how it plays and what it does before we even played the game. So I didn't baby seal him in any way, shape, or form with the list. He did end up getting half points on Han, but the way that I deployed the rocks to make sure that it was in, I made sure that, I want to say 85 to 90% of the game, Han was always within range one of a rock, was always getting his ability, and that is a significant improvement. And then he ended up getting shots on Jake. I think he took a shield off of Jake. I mean, he focused most of his firepower trying to take down Han. So even, I have to admit, like, it's so much fun. Like, at 185 points, he's like, oh... And he's got Vader in the list. I'm like, yeah, no, you can go ahead and go first. I'd really like to know where Vader's going to be before I move.
Yeah.
And just having that back pocket, yeah, I'm just going to stop here as Vader's pointing that way. I'm just going to stop here and fire four dice into the back of him. That works for me.
It would be a shame if I was target lock focus now. Oh.
Yeah.
Did you not get me an arc again? Next time. You were so close.
Well, and then the funny part, he did the same thing that you did, Chris, in our game, the Vassal game that we did, where he took my shields off but didn't throw any damage on, so I couldn't fire off
R2-D2.
Oh, no, inertial dampers. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So like,
all right, R2, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't do R2, so I couldn't get the shield back, so I couldn't get that. So I actually literally had to put myself in a position like, where am I going to take the least amount of damage on Han so I can get my shield back so that I can turn that function back on?
So what you're saying is for a whole single turn of the game, you had to actually play the fucking game and set a dial?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, man. Must have been hard for you.
You took away half my options with doing that. Boosting on large base ships with perfect knowledge and being able to turn that turret wherever it goes is still just as good as it ever was in X-Wing. Yeah. Like it felt that it's why I genuinely didn't understand why nobody ran it. Like, I get that Luke Skywalker was expensive, but it's so good.
It turns out spending a lot of points on a ship that doesn't give up points is actually a good plan.
Yeah. So the only thing I will take note of is that the addition of Kanan on the, even if you're not using his ability, which I only used a handful of times in that game, just that extra force point sitting on the ship, like, okay, I can spend one to turn the turret and I still have one to soft modify dice. It's so good. It's so good. So I totally get the list. I think I flew it much better. So I know we had talked off camera about having an additional game maybe this week, maybe on Monday. I think I'm going to give you another run for your money on this one now that I've got a little bit of experience under my belt. I'm not going to say I'm going to win a game, but it was nice to actually win a game of X-Wing for once. It was really nice.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you can beat me. I might try and get the TIE Swarm out or back to a Separatist Swarm and let you dance around that.
Oh, that'd be so much fun. That sounds like a great game, actually.
Yeah. We'll do that.
That was games played. We're going to just keep on rolling. We're going to roll into the news. First thing, of course, in case you didn't watch the gameplay one, the late great Peter May, who passed away in the time between our last episode and this one. It was actually kind of striking conversations at work, and you begin to realize how many of the main cast Star Wars have passed away. Obviously, Sir Alec Guinness is gone, Carrie Fisher, Kenny Baker, and now Peter May, who is gone. So that cast of characters that I grew up loving and knowing and loving is quickly dwindling. So, of course, the initial episode title, which we'll save for next one when we really technically pay tribute to Mr. May, who we'll do later. So that obviously had happened, and Grumpy Cat died. I mean, how, what's come to the, Grumpy Cat passes away. I don't know how I can handle it.
And he was only 7.
Only 7. It was a young kid. It was a young, great before his time. And so, like so many bright stars in the world, he was taken early from us.
I'm not a cat person. It's not right. I empathize with people who are cat people. I understand your pain, but.
The number of people I heard talk to me about this cat.
It's a cat. It doesn't love you. It pretends to love you while there's food around, and then it's done.
I have a cat. I've always considered myself sort of cat persons until I got dogs, and then I'm like, oh.
Yeah, the unconditional love of a dog, because they're too stupid to know anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. I empathize with cat people.
Don't feel too bad, guys. I have 2 cats. So
the old adage that I've had is, you don't have cats live with you; you live with cats.
Yeah. These 2 are more like dogs, though. They beg for food. They, they don't leave me alone like they should, and it's kind of nuts. So
mine looks at my cat has resting bitch face. I don't know how that's possible, but she does.
So. Obviously, it's a different experience having a cat in the UK to having a cat in Canada. If I have a cat in Canada, you can't let it outside because a cougar will come and fuck that shit up.
Holy crap, yeah.
They will just get dead. But in the UK, we used to have cats when I was growing up, and I've not seen the cat for 3 days. Well, yeah, it'll be fine, it'll come back.
It'll be hungry eventually.
Yeah, it just come around once it wants some different food. It's fed up of catching rats or whatever. Not being able to let them out of the house. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the indoor cat where you have a litter tray. It's I'm going to store your poop on the floor in my kitchen. That's where I'm going to choose to store your poo.
So. Secondary bathroom downstairs. That's right next to the laundry room. Yeah. That's where we keep ours. I grew up in farm country, so I grew up with just letting the cat out the door and they come back a couple of days later. I totally understand that. That's kind of what I grew up with.
Yeah, there's bylaws in Cochrane, the town I live in, that you're not allowed to let your cat outside and stuff. Cool. Yeah, cool, whatever.
But it is for their safety.
Yeah.
All right, this one on a weird tangent on cats. So, if you're into it, hey, poor grumpy cat has passed away. All right, so official FFG news. We've obviously seen Wave 5. That was officially announced. We didn't get a date, did we? But we've been able to get pretty good at guessing on when that's happening.
No, I think it's on the bottom of the article for the Living Starfighter. It says the 6th of June.
Yep. Okay. Perfect. Yep. No, you're right. 6th of June. So that is when we will see the full Wave 5. But we did get, of course, an article on the Hyena bomber. Interesting stuff. There's a couple of interesting new upgrades that are really kind of jumping out to me. But the stats on the Separatist bomber, which is one of the generics coming in at Initiative 3, it is obviously of 2 attack, 2 evade, 5 hull, has to calculate target lock, barrel roll into a red target lock, and a red reload action. And, of course, has network calculations, which we've known and already seen before.
Yeah. I like sort it. It feels like a V19, but with network calculations. So
exactly.
I'm getting a new appreciation for how rugged those little shits are. Having 5 health. So it's like an old X-Wing, basically. 5 hits behind 2 agility.
That is a good point, yeah.
It's not going to just explode. which the vultures are wont to do. Oh, yes, I'm tired of living now. I'm done.
That they do. We also got the Techion or the Techno Union. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the one word. Techno Union bomber, obviously, which is the Initiative One version of that. Same statistics as before. I'm literally just clicking through the article and stuff we see. The Bombardier.
Plasma torpedoes. Plasma torpedoes. It's the next thing.
Totally skip plasma torpedoes.
So we had them in 1.0. We haven't actually covered exactly what they do.
See, that's where my old guy brain goes, oh yeah, no, I know what plasma torpedoes are, but no, I've not. Okay, so let's kind of go into those. There are three attack dice, range 2 to 3 with 2 charges on them, requiring a target lock to attack. Spend 1 charge token during the neutralize result step. Critical results are canceled before hit results. I'm sorry, I'm reading as I'm doing it.
Yeah,
after the
yeah.
attack hits, the defender loses 1 shield. So it does something similar. It's very similar to what they used to do.
So the important thing to note here is that it's actually the reverse of the first edition card. So during the neutralized result step is when you determine if the attack hits or not. And that is before the deal damage step.
Correct.
So you cancel crits before hits, which is fine. It means you're less likely to crit with this torpedo. But if the attack hits, they remove a shield before you deal the damage. Whereas in first edition, you used to deal all of the damage, and then if they had a shield left, you would burn the card.
Interesting. So
you're guaranteed, if you can hit, you're guaranteed to burn a shield and then deal damage.
And if they only have 1 shield, you're in a hole at that point. That's really nice.
So if you do get the 3 crit dream.
It could happen. Yeah. It has happened in the past.
It's interesting because they're kind of making this better for the most part than 1.0's version of this, in my opinion.
Was it not a 4 dice attack in 1.0, though?
It probably was, but with this effect, I think it's better than the 4 dice attack. Just my opinion, it's.
I think it's really good in 2.0 because hardly anything is the 4 dice in 2.0. Like you've got protons, but they're like 12 points. So.
Yeah, the question I have, and it's probably one I wanted to ask a while ago and forgot, but did they build extra munitions into all of these munitions?
Most of them.
With the charges, mean?
Yeah, Prockets has only got 1 charge.
Yeah, and I can see why you would do it with that. But,
yeah.
But like most of the ones I've, noticed, seen, they all come with 2 charges, or a lot of them come with 2 charges.
Yeah, this Barrage has got like 5 or something stupid, hasn't it? And I know clusters are. There's quite a few. Charges is really interesting. Yeah. So they have a lot of the ones where you can spend charges for additional effects have got more than 2.
Right.
Because you obviously they plan on you using them either as a base shot or you spend the charges to make the shot that you did better. So it's a really interesting balancing mechanic that I actually do like.
I agree. I do too.
I like the fact that they built that in and they made them not a primary weapon, but closer to a primary weapon, and especially. How many rounds are you actually getting in a game? 5, 6, 7 in most games. That allows them to be that more of an effective weapon in the game than just an alpha strike, single use, or an alpha and then a beta strike with the extra munitions if you're lucky enough.
Yeah. No, I definitely like them. I think the 3 die, I don't know that I'd take them on like an X-Wing. I think I'd still, let's be honest, they have to be less points than protons.
Yeah, they'd have to be.
Protons went up by a lot and are still probably the best upgrade in the game. Barring Moldy Crow title, sorry. Got to get that caveat out there every time.
Yep, absolutely.
Barring X-Wings, The Naboo Starfighter can take them. So these should be nailed onto Naboo Starfighters unless there's something like really weird why you wouldn't want it. But yeah, anything with 2 dice attack that can. So Unironically, the picture is the K-Wing shooting them. K-Wings would be really good with these because
I was just going to say that.
I'll point my turrets to the side and I'll have these out the front, and now I've got an old-fashioned turret of where are you going to go? Go behind me, I'll drop a prox mine on you. It's fine.
Right.
All right, so moving on. We already saw energy shell chargers. I still think that those are fantastic. The bombardment drone. If you were okay, so this one actually has its own ability. It is limited to three per squadron. If you would drop a device, you may launch that device instead using the same tablet. Launch that device, meaning in
It goes,
front.
yeah, it goes out the
In
front, and
so.
obviously the template is designated on the card for the device for how you drop it now. So generally, things use a one straight, generally. So you can drop it out the front of you if you can. If they have a gunner, a gunner option, you could put bombardier on them and use a two. I believe in the article it talks about using what do you call it? The trajectory simulator. So you can launch it out before out the front as well.
Ooh.
But
All right, so didn't we have issues with bomblet generators and doing things like that with trajectory simulators before in a previous meta and different version of the game? Didn't we have that problem before? Turn
I don't
one, move
mind because
five.
he I don't mind because he's a droid, so no one cares. It's fine. We'll get on to why these are good later, but so it does talk about devices as well, not bombs.
Yes, that is an important distinction.
Yeah, it is, especially when you can drop cononets and proxy mines out the front.
It'll be fun. Bomblet generator, I think we have seen before.
I'm still not sold on bomblet generator.
Me neither. They were good in their days in 1E, but not now.
Yeah.
Delayed fuses. After you drop or launch or place after you drop, launch, or place a bomb or mine, that's an important distinction, not a device, bomb or mine, you may place one fuse marker on that device. Now, I'm looking through the article in the description of what that does.
So a fuse marker, it is talked about towards the bottom of the article.
Okay, so
Basically,
if a device with a fuse marker would detonate, removes one fuse marker instead, leaving a deadly surprise for anyone flying too close to the next in the next round. So it, I mean, it effectively does what I thought it would do. It delays it for a round.
so if
But
you are using a bombardment drone and drop a proxy mine out the front and then fly through it yourself.
all of a sudden it doesn't proc.
Yeah, because it's got a fuse on it. It's good.
That's dirty. Okay, because I was curious, just like, so what purpose would I have for that? I hadn't put two and two together on that.
Yeah, that's the only way you could really launch it with
Yeah.
a one template. So
Yeah.
hyenas also come with landing struts. It looks like it's the
But it
same.
is. It's exactly the same as the grappling struts, but called landing struts because it's a different card.
So for all intents and purposes, it does the exact same thing as the land. Okay, excellent. Trajectory simulator, which we've seen. Electron proton bomb. Boy, is this an interesting one. First of all, it requires the reload action. It also takes up a bomb and a modification slot, and it is unique. You can only have one. Comes with one charge. It is listed as a bomb. During the system phase, you may spend one energy to drop an electron proton bomb with the one template, then place one fuse marker on that device. This card's energy tokens cannot be recovered. Now, do they show what the electron proton bomb does? Because I'm
They
looking for the
talk about
card.
it in the article if you scroll down a little bit, but I can
There we
summarize
go.
for you. So, for each ship at range 0 to 2, rolls 4 attack dice. You lose a shield for every blank result. You gain an ion token for every damage result. And you gain a disarm token for every crit result.
Oh my God.
Why?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So, range 2 of a bomb is just under a quarter of the table type thing. It's
Exactly.
a big old circle. And
holy cow, no wonder it's unique.
So what my friends have been talking about is you take Eamon Azzamine, then you take Boba Fett crew, so you can deploy him on a rock, and then the first turn you use Azamine's ability to drop it, and you just like dropped it in front of a squad, and okay, where are you going to go now? You've got two turns to get out of this, because you're going to fly into its range and then fly again, and you basically have force them into having to rush forwards horribly, or suffering the effects. And then my other friend pointed out, it's okay, I'm flying TIE Swarm anyway, so you literally can't do damage to me with this bomb.
Oh. That's true.
Yeah. Lose your shield. Oh.
The ion token's kind of annoying, and the disarm token's kind of annoying.
Yeah. So at four dice, if you take this with your entire swarm, you probably get disarmed on two of them, and ioned on like a six tie swarm, probably like four or five of them. Right. In fact, they should all be ioned, but the horror story is when it's like Hellrunner is the one who doesn't get ioned and has to fly out in front of a swarm. No!
It takes you forever to get your formation back in place.
Yeah.
Alright, so that's going to be interesting.
And that's the thing. I think it will be interesting. You can only have one. You get two turns to deal with getting away from it. Yeah, it's going to mess people's plans up. But even without thinking about costing, which is obviously variable, like they could say it's like 150 points, no one's going to take it, and then we don't have to worry about it. But even if it's like a single point, I feel like there's counterplay to it. So it's going to wreck some people's days, and it's equally going to be massively ineffectual against others. So I'm not overly panicking at the moment.
No, I think it's going to be one of those things like someone's going to get caught with it on a table one time and go, holy crap. And then it's never going to happen again because they're going to be prepared for what it can do.
Yeah, you're flying B-wings with all of the shields, and it just rips through your entire list shields, and then you get bent over the table and swapped around, and that feels bad. But equally, you could have dialed in the three forwards. That feels like it was on you.
Yep. Oh. Yep. Agreed. All right, so we get to see a couple more of the generics. The Banktoid prototype also comes with an ability. While you perform a special attack, if you have a friendly ship with a network calculation ship ability has locked on the defender, you may ignore the focus calculation or target lock requirements for that attack. Now, that's interesting because things like, I don't know, what the electroshell charges require a calculation token.
Yeah.
You may not have at that point.
There's loads of interesting things I was thinking about. We'll get onto it as we get to my favorite of the hyenas, but there's definitely some synergies getting built in with this network calculation beyond what network calculation synergy obviously is. It's really interesting. You need to get one lock and have network calculation. If you can get one, you should be fine. So.
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing remember how we had discussed this before? Like, so how does the Separatists look different than the Empire with TIE Swarms? And I'm definitely seeing where they're very different and how their synergies are building on top of a completely different mechanic and a completely different way of playing as opposed to what a group of the same ship would do. Really liking it's giving that differentiation, like, well, how is this any different than this? Well, here's how and here's why it's different.
The Imperials are a blunt force trauma instrument where these guys are more of a finesse style. You know, you can play swarms, but there's some finesse to it. And because the dials don't always synergize, it actually makes it a little more difficult than if you were doing a TIE swarm or any type of Imperial swarm that's out there.
But when we speak about the Dionysus, this one does actually synergize pretty well with the Vultures. I do feel like you can fly different types of ships now in the Separatists and have them all in a formation if you want to. That we didn't do a DAO, did we?
I was just going to say we hadn't covered that.
Well, we can do that at the end because I was going to speak to the dial. So
Oh,
all right. We'll save it for the end. I was going to say I actually pulled it up and looked at it.
So they do in the article. They do talk about barrage rockets because obviously with that ability you can ignore the fact you need a focus which you physically cannot take.
Oh,
but. Yeah. I still feel like energy shells are a better choice. Because
I agree.
There's an argument there, but I'm never a fan of chasing a gimmick too much.
Right, and that's kind of what it is. Like you're trying to build this combo on top of a combo and trying to get to me, it's wasted points if you can't get that combo to go off. And one of the things that feels bad about list building is I spent points on this and never got to use it. And if you're building it that you're already going in with the intention of building a situation like that in, I'm a little iffy. I would just rather go with the energy shell tokens and charges and go with that.
Yeah. Although we do have the Diamond Baron missiles for the another two missile occupying thing.
So first of all, how many ships can actually take that? We'll get to that later.
One.
There's one. Probably the hyena. Exactly.
So K-Wing, Bomber, and Punisher. I think if you do a munitions platform for the Assault Gunboat, the TIE Avenger, there's a good number of ships, but it is a limited card that you can only have one of, same as the Electron Proton Bomb. So.
Right, exactly. So we're looking at three attack at range two to three with three charges on it, requires a target lock to use. Spend one charge token. After this attack kicks, you may spend one charge token. If you do, each ship at range 0 to 1 of the defender with agility equal to or less than the defender's rolls one attack die and suffers one hit or crit damage for each matching result. So it's like a splash attack?
Yeah.
Assuming that they have similar agilities.
Yeah, like you get to pick what you shoot it at, so you should always be able to trigger it if you want to. You're not going to shoot it at a Y-wing that's surrounded by X-wings. You'll shoot it at the X-wing and hope that you can splash onto the others. And
did I read that correctly? Though you need to spend it. You need to spend two.
Yeah, so you spend one, and you spend another one if you hit.
Yeah.
So then you can only fire this once.
Twice. It's got three charges.
Yeah, you shoot it twice, but you get the secondary effect once.
Unless you reload.
Yeah.
I guarantee I will...
Do you see where I'm going? Like, there's an odd number there. Like, it should...
You are correct.
It's a limiting factor.
Yeah. It's almost like it was designed that way.
Yeah.
But I'm going to guess now that FFG overcosts this card.
Probably. Well, they've already given it two missile slots. Yeah, no, I mean, you're probably right. I would agree with that, but I mean, it's...
There will be better missiles to take instead of this card. I guarantee.
And I will say, I'm not, huge, unless you're going up against a swarm. You know, this card will be effective one time against a swarm, but it won't be effective, in my opinion, against the singular style of ships, like the Han, Jake, or those types of lists, because you're not going to get the bang for the buck. You'll just get three shots out of it if you're going to take it.
Yeah. And, I don't know, it's fine, but it'll be overcosted because of the potential damage and...
If you're rolling three dice on all the other ships, the potential damage.
Can you imagine, Sean? I'm playing against an 8 TIE Vulture Swarm, and then I hit one of them, and all of your ones are in range 1. So I've just done like 3 damage to a guy I shot, killing him, and then 1 damage to 7 other ships. Just think of the value, Sean. That's got to be worth like 50 points.
Except you see it across the table and go, okay, yeah, I'm just not going to fly in tight formation like that, and then negate the whole card. Right. I felt the same way. What was it? It wasn't cluster missiles. It was one of the other ones from first edition that did the splash damage. And as soon as you saw someone with it, you're like,
assault missiles.
Yeah, that might have been it.
Yeah.
Where you're just, all right, I'm just going to spread out so I'm not within range one. Like, I recognize I'm flying a TIE swarm, but I'm so used to losing High Runner's ability in turn two anyway. What difference does it make?
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into some of the named ones. We've got DBS 404 error.
Yeah, we've seen this one before, and it still makes me laugh because it's preservation protocols not found.
I love that.
Page not found, 404 error.
I love that they have a sense of humor for this. Yeah. So we have seen him before, so we'll just kind of bypass over him, unless that's what the one you wanted to talk about. I don't think that is.
No, it's not one I wanted to talk about. This is the guy who, well, the thing, I should say. We won't misgender the robot. if you can attack at range zero, which is great, but when you're rolling an attack at range zero to one, you get an extra die, which is great. If you hit, you take a crit.
Which is not great.
Yeah, no, it's not. So, like, plus it's initiative 4. That's pretty high for Separatists. And then that's about it. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of critting my own ship and it being mandatory. Like, the only way to not do it is to choose not to attack. So, not a huge fan. This one, though.
Especially since you don't have shields to absorb it.
Yeah. This is the one I'm looking forward to, Ed.
DBS 32C coming in at initiative 6. This one also
initiative
has
3.
Initiative 3. I'm sorry. Yeah. My brain translated first to the second. This one comes with a jam instead of the reload, which is interesting. I think that's the first time I've seen that.
So the only other time we've been different is stuff like Guri and the Star Viper, who has calculates instead of focuses. So droid pilots have had different actions on their action bar.
Yeah, but like it's all the other ones now. That makes sense because it's not living flesh that's driving it, so they can't have a focus token. I totally get that, but this is interesting that they switched that up. Its ability: at the start of the engagement phase, you may spend one calculate token and then perform a remind me of that one.
Coordinate.
Thank you. I wanted to say reinforce. I'm like, no, it's not reinforce. No. You cannot coordinate ships that do not have the network calculation ability. Interesting. So that is really fascinating.
But so, when's the start of the engagement phase, you say? So effectively initiative infinite. So exactly. If I've got an initiative 1 ship that really wants to get a target lock, so the rest of my initiative 1 ships can use their upgrade that let them fire missiles with focuses that they don't have focuses for, I could just get the target lock from this guy, and it doesn't matter that you were a higher initiative and moving after me, so I was out of range for target lock when I moved, because I now get it. And
it's almost a better Atani Mind Link.
Yeah, this is my favorite of the pack. And it does talk about the fact that this one will be able to equip a tactical relay as well. So yeah. I may be dropping Wat Tambor. As criminal as not having Wat is, I mean, DBS 32C...
It depends on the points. We'll have to see, because Watt's pretty efficient at that one. Go ahead.
Was fairly expensive because I was running Soulless 1 on him as well. So it won't be as rugged. It won't have a 3-dice attack. But it's if you can leverage the support aspects of this ship. Because you can do a lot. If you're running Kraken, you can carry a calculate token through. You can jam off the tokens with his action, still spend your calculate to coordinate somebody else and get weird and wonderful efficiencies in there.
Or you can get a new solitaire.
Oh yeah.
We can talk TA-175.
Yeah.
After a friendly ship at range 0 to 3 with a calculate token on its action bar is destroyed, each friendly ship at range 0 to 3 with a calculate token on its action bar gains a calculate token. That's interesting.
So this one, I personally feel, makes the initiative 1 Vulture Swarm viable.
Yep, exactly.
I think this is, but if you're running initiative 1 Vultures, this is better than Kraken. Because, spoiler, they have to shoot somebody and they probably want to kill it. So you can spend all of your tokens trying to keep one ship alive. When it finally dies, oh surprise! Everyone's got them again. Because it's not perform a calculate action. You gain the token.
Right.
Yeah. So they can be stressed. Doesn't matter. They're still getting it.
And then you get to launch off all of your energy shells because they all have calculates again.
That's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, so if you think about it as a direct replacement to Kraken, assuming it's 10 points, which is pretty expensive for Kraken. I was running it with 7 ships. So you kill one vulture, so I get 6 calculate tokens back, which can then be spent again by everyone because we're all in a big block.
So, and that's cumulative too. So if they take out 2 droids, everyone else is picking up 2 calculates.
Yeah. But what it means is you can spend your calculate tokens freely, and then you'll be sad because your ship did not explode.
Right.
Oh no, you didn't kill anything. Ah, oh, this game's terrible. You're not killing my ships quick enough.
Oh. Almost like they're disposable.
Yeah, and I really like because anything that makes the option to not shoot something a potential choice is broken, because not shooting something is always the wrong choice.
Right.
Almost always the wrong choice. There's always going to be that one person who comes up with the perfect storm of, oh, then you wouldn't shoot. Yeah, you're right. Well done. But if you choose to never fire, you don't win the game.
In my guess, this will probably cost 6 points.
Oh, if it does that, it'll
definitely... I'm just saying.
Yeah. No. You're not correct on that. You probably are, but if that is the case, it'll definitely not Kraken out.
Yeah. Kraken's 10, the other one's a 5. So if it's... I mean... There's arguments to take this instead of Kraken, because depending on when the ship dies, you can get more than 3 calculate tokens worth of value, which is the maximum value Kraken can give you. So
exactly. So yeah, there's an argument to be made there.
I wouldn't want it to cost 10 points, because then I feel like I would still take Kraken. But if this is like up to 8 points... I'd probably pay 8 points for this and try it out in some lists. But I definitely think you need... This is definitely the swarm of vultures. You need the...
Yes.
The six, seven ships in there.
Right.
All of them with, of course, energy shells. Energy shells on top of it.
Yeah.
All right, anything else we want to cover? That's quite a bit to cover over. I know we've
got some questions. The dial.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I almost forgot about that. So, Sean, we will get into that dial. So we're looking on the one range. Oh, God. Everything you ever wanted to do. It's... Okay, so it does have a 1 hard turn and a 1 straight that are both white. The 1 banks, red. Because, you know, they never do the thing you want them to do. In the 2 banks, we've got in the blues, we've got 2 straights and 2 turns are both blue, but we also have 2 banks that are white, and then it's got the 2 talon rolls. It also has a 2K turn, which is interesting. To have the K turn and the talon roll in the same bearing is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a 3 bank. It only has a 3 straight, which is blue, then 3 turns. 4 straight is 4 straight is white, and a 5 straight is red.
Yeah.
I really love this dial.
I'm glad you do, because I'm not seeing a lot of blue on that dial.
Well, you don't need the blue. It's the fact, you know, number one, if you can lose a ship and get a token, you don't need blue.
Yeah, you can be stressed and still get that token.
Be stressed and get a token.
That is true.
The other thing is these are kind of like a lesser powered B-wing, but if you're using them for bombs or using them for whatever... I like this. Talon rolls, K turns at 2. You know, that's a knife fighting. You know,
that is fascinating.
One hards and a 1 straight.
And now that you have the 2 talon rolls, you have, it's a fast ship now, because it turns around quickly. It gets back into position quickly. And then of course the other abilities that they have, if you're using the what you call it, the the wings on the thing, you can land on rocks.
Yeah.
Not be affected.
The thing I really think people will struggle with when they get it on the table and not realize is the lack of that three bank.
Yeah.
Correct. Correct. But I think that's where the two talon roll comes into play, though.
Yeah.
You know, where it's, to me, the talon roll is similar to a bank, but better because it's a repositioning. I know it's a turn, you know, I understand
yeah.
that. But the concept of it in my book is it's a lot like a bank, but that two talon roll, giving up the three banks for two talon roll or a 2K to me is pretty good.
Yeah, I think people underestimate the three bank as a maneuver because every ship previous to this has pretty much had one.
Right.
So I'm really interested to get it on the table and see how much I suffer from not having it. But I use a three bank probably more than I use a two bank. I landed Zeri on a rock in our game. If I'd
yep,
done the
exactly.
two, it would have been fine.
Exactly. Well, so I'm already looking ahead. So it has turns in every bearing.
Yeah.
All of them at minimum of white.
Yeah.
Right.
I am a huge, huge fan of the two blue turns. It used to be like the knife fighting kind of ship's like base move is like going to be the do turn that's going to blow off the stress and then go off from there.
Yeah.
And I was looking at its ability. The only thing that it can do as far as positioning wise, though, is the barrel roll. But
just take afterburners, it'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. As I say, there are upgrades you could take if you want to get into it to make it a little bit better than that.
You know, the other thing is that if you're dropping fused bombs, you're going to want to kind of change your position so the turns are better anyway,
yeah,
and the talon rolls are better when you're, you know, dropping with a fuse especially, because you can completely go a different direction at that point and then leave them to have to deal with you coming around on the wraparound on the second turn.
So especially if you're taking the delayed fuse upgrade,
mm-hmm.
you can. So I believe this would work, but if you drop a bomb out of the front, then do a hard one, and then drop a bomb out of the back next turn,
mm-hmm.
you can double stack your bombs.
Just have them stacked up right there like Easter
yeah,
eggs.
Like,
go ahead and find those, buddy.
Yeah. Can you hold this? Oh, and this.
That's awesome. All right, so yeah, no, I had, yeah, that lack of the three bank, that is, you're right. I don't know, I'm going to have to go back and look at some dials to see, you're right, I don't know that any other ship that doesn't have that three bank on there. All right, so that's going to cover the news. We do, of course, have listener questions that we were going to kind of burn through. So, Chris, again, I've not cheated, so I've not looked. I'm going to leave this to you.
So it's a shame that Chad isn't on, and obviously that Chuck isn't on, because not an X-Wing question, but what happened to your Warhammer podcast? Why do you hate Warhammer, Ed? Why?
It's not a question of what. So what ended up happening, I got super, super excited, loved the game at first, and then people broke it. And I think
then you realize that it takes 4 hours to play a game.
Well, I'm used to that. I'm okay with that. So in the early days of the latest and greatest edition of 40K, the game was great. And then people started figuring out the Imperial Soup kind of meta builds, which was just taking all these independent characters in the center that all overlapped on top of each other. And because the Imperium is the Imperium, and I can take ones from the, you know, the Iron Fist, and I can take the ones from the Crimson Fist, and I can take the Dark Angels, and I can intertwine all of them all at the same time, and they all have these abilities that they're sharing, it just became a ridiculously stupid list that you couldn't beat. Because they're independent characters, you couldn't. My point being is they took a great premise that I thought was a good idea, and then people broke it. Now, yeah, it's my understanding that
the
they
play
have
has ruined it. Yeah.
What's that?
The play has
oh, yeah,
ruined
no,
it.
Absolutely. And I will still give Games Workshop full credit. They're aware of the problem. I think, unfortunately, they've painted themselves into a corner, and I don't know how they're going to get out of it. I know they're working on trying to get fixes.
I believe the game has improved, and that they're coming out with that many books and that quickly that the meta evolves all the time. So I think Imperial Soup is still a thing, but it isn't the same as it used to be when you were playing. And, yeah. I don't know.
Well, I'd like to know how they fit, because I think it's a fundamental problem. I always thought that in one of the chapters of proofs, all they would have to do is a simple rules change. If you're Crimson Fist, this affects only Crimson Fist. And if they would prevent... All right, this is me. Old and crotchety, I'm not going to lie. This is me going back to the days of whenever... If I played Dark Angels, I played Dark Angels. I didn't play Dark Angels with Pedro Cantor and... Mount Marnius Calgar in my list because they're not fucking Dark Angels. I play Dark Angels. So why can't, like, I also didn't have a detachment of Imperial Guard sitting in the back to cover over, like, here's a 50-man blob to fall over my Psyker that's sitting in the corner. You didn't do that. You know why? Because I played fucking Dark Angels.
Yeah, but Dark Angels like Imperial Knights. So fine, Ed. Just let me take this Imperial Knight and I'm just going to shoot it at you until you're dead. And then I'm gonna
fundamentally state the concept of allies when it was introduced in 5th edition, playing the way that it is, and the way that it is played through from 6th into where they are now has fundamentally flawed the game. I used to meet guys that had like ultramarine tattoos because that's all they would ever play because they were.
I don't believe you. No self-respecting human being had an ultramarine tattoo.
I've met. I absolutely have met. My point.
We march from a crack. No, you don't, man.
No,
you don't.
My point being, though, like people played an army. Like I played Necrons, or you played Tyranids. Tyranids can't battle LA with anybody, so they're their own thing. But like you played or you were Blood Angels. You played one single army, and I think fundamentally they need to get back to that. That will balance the whole damn game back because you don't have any of these weird interactions going on with. Okay, so I wrote a rule in the Dark Angels Codex that does this weird thing with the Space Marines, with the Ultramarines, and then, oh, by the way, there's this Imperial Guard Psyker that does this, and all of a sudden you've got this broken thing, and how do you fix it? Well, you can't, because the way your fundamental rules are built, allow that to happen. Go back to having a single Codex per army, done.
But what do you really think, Ed?
That was it.
There you go, Sam. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, my short answer to the question is when I found out the game was as flawed as it used to be in previous editions, I kind of got disillusioned. I've not thrown anything away. I still have. I don't know if you can even see it. Like, Gabriel's orcs are sitting here. All of my Space Marines are still sitting in the back painted. I have every single model I've ever owned still sitting in the closet. One day Games Workshop will get it right, and I have confidence that they're getting there because they are listening. They are paying attention. They're doing things they haven't done in decades, which is paying attention to the community. I think they'll get there. They're just not there yet, and someday I'll come back. I will.
So I still get phone calls from like people in India asking if I want to make the Heresy Cast domain name like more protected and use it for a website and stuff. Well, I don't even own that anymore. So yeah, Heresy Cast was fun, but I was literally just producing it for you guys, so that's why I didn't keep it going. Because
and ultimately in the end what ended up happening, I have two good friends, two colleagues, Phil and Spencer, who used to own 40K Radio, and now they have their own, which is the 40K podcast. They're doing a fantastic job. And I think that is more into their realm. I still love the books. I mean, I'm still a 40K nut at heart. I ended up texting Chris 2 days ago when I heard that they're finally going to add to the Black Library the Assault on Terror, which I've been waiting for 10 years. I've got a stack of Black Library books right here. I still love the universe. It's one of the, if not the, and fight me on it if you want, best sci-fi IPs ever. The story alone is amazing, but for some reason they can't get their damn game straight. Thanks for throwing that match on the fire.
It's good.
No, great. It was a great question. It's just, holy cow, I didn't even know I still had that in me, because I love 40K. I love 40K. I just want it to be good and competitive again.
Okay, so we've got a question from Matthew Bundy. How about the state of X-Wing 2nd Edition? Now that we are just about 8 months and a couple of waves in, how does 2nd Edition compare to 1st Edition? Did 2nd Edition meet your expectations? Did FFG get everything right? What still needs to be worked on? Was breaking up Resistance and First Order a good thing or meh? How should the addition of Clone Wars era... Hell, you could do an entire show just on this topic. Yeah, we could.
We could.
Do you just want to each one of us jump in with one thing on that?
Or do we save that for next episode and actually make it a full blown episode?
I think we save it.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I think there's so much. I mean, we could probably machine gun these real quick with yes, no's, with yes and no's, but I don't feel that it accurately answers that question, because I think every yes is an explanation as well as every no.
What about we do this one after the next points change?
Okay.
Because I think there will be two official points changes in by then. So it'll give us a good grounding on where FFG think they're going.
Okay, so the answer to your question is going to be, wait a minute.
tune in, not next time, maybe a time after that at some point. Just keep listening and we'll
let
you know.
Tune in 2 episodes and we'll address every single question you had on that one. Yeah. That's a jam-packed one, though. I like that.
Yeah. Michael Stinger? Stanger? I'm sorry. Do you think there would be any issues with giving some K-Wings, VCX, and Punisher pilots the talent slot? No and yes. So I think there would be no issues giving some of them, and lots of issues giving other ones them. Depends on the pilot. But I'm pretty sure Hera actually has a talent slot. I'm going to double check.
Yeah, no, to me, I've always found it interesting that when you had pilots over a certain, it used to be pilots on a certain initiative that don't have that slot. Like, it always seemed weird to me, but we have found already in points changes in the way that they've adjusted ships that they've adjusted that for a reason, because there's an unintended consequence to allowing a particular pilot for having access to a particular upgrade. I think in general terms, I think, yeah, higher initiative pilots should probably have access to it. But
so, you Hera Syndulla does have the talent slot now on the VCX. Because I know she used to have it on the attack shuttle, but not in the VCX because it was game breaking. But yeah. Sorry, I jumped in to interrupt you and then.
Oh, that's okay. I think that thoroughly answered that question.
Yeah, I think you do have to look at balance. You know, that's the key piece there.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong. Like, they could add slots because they can do it in the app, and that's the entire point. Like, they could give everything a slot, and then they could give everything 3 slots, and then roll them back. You know, they can. Right. All of this can change. So,
yep, exactly.
Okay, this one's a rules question, so I'll just quickly read it and then answer it just for expediency. Patrick, how does fine-tune controls work when dealing with a debris cloud? Do you gain the stress before? So if we go to page 13 of a rules reference, it says for obstacles and debris cloud, after the check difficulty step, the ship gains 1 stress token. After executing the maneuver, it rolls 1 attack die. So you gain the stress after the check difficulty step, and that is, so it means you can't self-clear, but it is still before you have fully executed the maneuver.
Yeah.
So you gain the stress, and then you don't get to perform fine-tune controls because you are stressed.
Correct.
So you can still add it to the queue, but if that's the only thing you add to the queue, it would fail. So if you've got like Anakin obviously can clear stress after he fully executes. So you could add Anakin to the queue, clear the stress, and then fine tune controls. That would be fine. But you gain the stress beforehand in normal circumstances. Okay. Chris Hunt. best guess about Resistance Leia are most funny. I'm thinking after the ship she is on is destroyed, she can be repositioned like a remote until another friendly ship collects her.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Oh, that was exactly what I was going to say. Either that or give her an option to spend a force to relocate from another to another ship within range too. Like, she just Mary Poppins her way over.
I would guess that she does have force and that...
I would imagine 1 token, probably max.
Well, all of the crew only. We've not seen a crew yet that adds more than 1 force token.
Ah, oh, fair argument, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say she'll be a force user for ability. I don't know. As long as it's as long as it isn't the rebel layer ability, we'll be fine.
Oh God,
Because
yeah.
I don't want air wings to be able to do swoops as wide.
Free
Yeah.
across the whole board.
Yeah.
Now there used to be they use, and I know they went away from it towards the end of the latter part of first edition, but there used to be like if a pilot or a crew crossed factions, their abilities kind of stayed the same. So I could almost see that, but we're looking at an older Leia here at this juncture, so it would have to be different. I don't some of the how do I put this words? I'm trying to find the proper words for this. In first edition, you could genuinely see the feel of what that character did, at least in the first couple of waves, in their ability. And then it started becoming, yeah.
Are you
So
trying to tell me that you don't instantly know what Bolshek's ability is going to be just by watching that scene when he points over there? So, see, you could
right.
have gone this way, but you chose Han.
But you chose that one. Yeah,
Yeah. See,
exactly.
Bolshek, it's genius play.
It is. It absolutely is. It's in depth, but yes. But so yeah. So my point being, so like, I couldn't even guess. I mean, there's, it's probably something cool mechanically wise. I'm just hoping it's like Chris. I mean, it's Chris's same, but I hope it's not the same ability.
I have a feeling that it's going to be something either dealing with focus or, giving some type of inspiration to a pilot to be able to do something.
Yeah, it's going to
Because,
try to fill a gap somewhere in the list.
right. Because, she's kind of that leader, inspirer situation. Hard to say. She could be just as plain as just given the ship a force point, too. Who knows?
Well, that's what you take most of a force using pilots for, crew for. Like, their abilities are secondary to, oh, look, more force points. Harrison Sharp, how do you feel about the announcement that Worlds and Grand Championships will be extended? Pretty sure we had like a really, really long episode on this where we
I
all
think we may have
ranted.
gone off on that one, yes. I've calmed down since then.
I'm less bothered now. I understand it. I don't really care. I still think hyperspace is a more balanced format, but do what you want, man. It's the game. I don't know, but I'm more meh on it than I ever was. So.
Not to skirt the question, because of course we did get into a really long discussion of this one. I think it is my personal bias to have wanted to see hyperspace be it. To that is X-Wing. That extended was a nod to the players that still had older ships, but if you're starting X-Wing now, today, hyperspace is it. So my personal bias, that was mine. That's what I wanted X-Wing to be. It's not, and that's okay. To me, then the question becomes is why in the blue hell separate the two anymore?
Well,
Because ships that are in hype that are hyperspace legal are also legal in extended. And the argument, of course, being, well, new players can't get into that. Well, it then tough.
right.
I'll let you go, Sean.
I'm still not happy to just to this effect that there's very few, or there are fewer extended tournaments that get people to Worlds than there are hyperspace. And that's where I will kind of leave that one. If you're going to do it, it's their game. They do what they want. I am biased in the same way that Ed is. I was hoping X-Wing would be the hyperspace style and then extended as the legacy style. But Chris is right. X-Wing is the extended game and hyperspace is a variant. So, but when it comes to worlds, because your qualifiers are mostly hyperspace, I was hoping that it would be hyperspace, but I get why, you have a broader field, broader potential for lists when you do the extended.
I still go back to my default question. If you're going to if worlds is going to be extended, then why separate the two?
So I don't mind that so much. I would back you up in so much as the premise of Hyperspace when it was announced was that it's a new player friendly format. So why Soutnia fell in it? You can't buy him. Well,
Yep.
So it's not new player friendly, and I still can't fly all of my ships. So, but to caveat, hyperspace changes on June 6th because they change it every time a new wave comes out. So,
Right. Yeah, it gets bigger, you know.
yeah. But so
At
it
some
gets, does it
point,
get bigger, or will it take some ships back out once you add these ones in? We literally don't know. So.
yeah, I don't. I mean,
Oh.
I'll be honest with you though, Chris. I don't think they'll do that. I think that it'll be as the black box or the black packaging comes out, that's going to be your hyperspace limitation.
Yeah,
And that's going to be the way it moves forward. It's going to open up. Now, I could see them over time when they get, let's say 10 waves in, maybe having a rotation. But
but what I mean, Sean, by taking a ship out is they added in, so for Empire, they added in TIE interceptors and TIE bombers, which aren't in black packaging. They haven't added in a decimator yet, which is coming in black packaging. So who's to say when the decimator arrives that they don't drop the bomber, because they wanted more ships available, but they didn't have enough of them in hyperspace to hit the numbers they want. So I'm not, I
I agree
agree
with that. I agree with that.
that there's potential that at some point all of the black packaging will be hyperspace, but I don't necessarily know that there's an argument to say that they will never rotate out the, we'll call them the extended ships. There's no reason why they couldn't s rotate which extended ships are also in hyperspace. So,
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
at the minute, I think it feels a bit bad, but I can't say it'll feel bad after June 6th. I can't say it'll feel bad after the points change in July. So,
Well, and we
yeah.
can't say what's going to happen like a year and a half from now, because as new ships keep getting added, they're all falling into both categories. So as the library of ships that are extended only dwindles, eventually they're just going to merge as the same. I just don't know that I agree. If that is the plan, if that is indeed the plan, I just don't know that I agree with the execution.
Yeah, and there's arguments as well for like if you only have one format, that like the app starts to be less and less meaningful. The tools you can use it for, like you've got all of this investment of time and energy into the app, and it's gonna be less necessary because you only have the one format. So, I personally would like it if there was always some form of restricted format and the open format. And I don't care if that's what they name, and once every ship's out, you have open X-Wing and restricted X-Wing. I would be happy with that. But we'll see. I don't know.
The question I have though, are we going to see every ship, extended ship in hyperspace? I mean, that's a, you know,
Past.
yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. But I mean, that's where I come back to when it comes to the two. Will we see a Hawk? Will we see, and probably will, but will we see some of these ships that were pulled from the deep, dark recesses, of the legends, lore?
I would have gone to bat for us not seeing a lot of them, and then they brought out the Decimator before the Lambda. So
I was right there with you. Well,
I don't know.
then that tells me we're going to see it somewhere.
Yeah.
We're going to see it somewhere in a story somewhere, whether it be a new movie, whether it be a comic book, whether it be a book that comes out, we're going to see the Decimator existing somewhere. But
Okay,
no space cow.
so
Anyway.
we have one final question from Scott Weasel. I'm not sure if you guys have watched it, but I'll go anyway. So care to revisit opinions on Resistance since we have a full season now. So he's talking about the Resistance cartoon. Did you watch that, Ed? I know you'd not seen
I
it when it
have
came out.
not. I'm not gonna lie, I have not. I do intend to get Disney Plus whenever it comes out in the summer. I'll be able to play catch
No,
up.
November, I think,
Okay,
for
November,
I
whatever it is,
believe,
doesn't
I'm
matter. It
pretty sure
doesn't
it's
matter.
launching with The Mandalorian as well.
I'm going to say, because I'm going to get The Mandalorian. I'm going to get the entire Marvel Universe. I'm going to get everything that they're going to do for, because obviously Disney bought the Fox, so the new Aliens, whatever they're doing, that property is going to be on Disney Plus as well. Like, I'm in. I'm totally in. Yeah. And when I get, and then let's not forget Clone Wars Season 7. I will play catch up in November with Resistance.
I don't...
a huge fan of this, the art style. I know you said that it was, so I'm going to actually kind of lean on your opinion on that one, because I genuinely don't know.
I watched the first two episodes, and for me, it was really difficult to grasp what it was. You know, I'm not the fastest person when it comes to TV and movies and things like that, trying to grasp what the concept is of it. You know, Rebels was different, where you kind of knew because you had a feeling of it. You know, you had that feeling. Yeah, where
I thought they did a really good job with Rebels.
Yeah, you know, Clone Wars, you had a good feeling from season one all the way through, even though stories weren't the greatest in that one, but you knew what it was about. You knew
stories weren't the greatest and continuity wasn't the greatest either.
Yeah. Right.
Pulling a Firefly is never a right choice. Release your episodes in the order that they're supposed to happen, so you can follow the story.
Yeah. Right. So I'm like Ed. I'm waiting for Disney Plus because, you know, the mouse needs my money and everything, and the world will be on it. Plus Hulu is also going to be there too. You know, since Disney now owns that too. So
they bought them for the streaming properties. That's why, like, oh, you guys have a source, really.
Actually, I don't think they. I think they bought them for the live TV, to be honest, because that gives them a live TV plus all of their property. They combine that into Disney Plus. You know, dissolve Hulu, make it Disney Plus, and which will frustrate me because I get Hulu because I have Spotify. You know, it's free with Spotify. So, I'll tell you this. I don't ever look at a Star Wars property and say this is crap from the beginning. It's just I didn't catch on. It wasn't grabbing me. But when Disney Plus comes out, I'll watch the whole thing, and I'm sure I'll get hooked because it's Star Wars, and you're gonna get new, And I don't care. And I'm different than you when it comes to the look. You know, if there was a look that I didn't like, it was the Clone Wars look. But I didn't care. You know, at the end of the day, I didn't care.
Yeah, I could see it. That did take me a little bit to grow on me.
So I'll be honest. Every cartoon they've done since Ewoks and Droids, I've struggled to get into the art choices. But it's just different choices. It's fine. At the end, I've always been happy with them. So I'll do a quick thing with no spoilers, seeing as you two plan on watching it.
I've never seen Endgame, and I already know everything that happened in Endgame. So.
Yep, I'm okay. I'm okay with spoilers too, because I'm still gonna watch it, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, exactly. So basically, it isn't about anything. It's very loose. It's definitely a kid's show. Which is obvious, you know, it doesn't have the adult subplots. I still enjoyed it. I'll watch it again all the way through because I didn't watch it on TV. I watched them all on my iPad when I subscribed to it through the Apple. So I just bought the series, and then every time I did an episode, it comes out. The story is solid enough once it gets going, but it meanders a lot. It's set before episode 7 and then finishes during episode 7. So the final episode is the main character is from the Hosniak system, which is what Starkiller Base blows up. And then they just remove themselves from everything. So it's like, okay, well, I kind of feel like I've just wasted. Like, it doesn't accomplish anything other than being an entertaining kids' TV show set in the Star Wars universe, which is, if that's what it set out to accomplish, good. But it doesn't really build any characters I care about. We see some cool First Order people. We see Poe doing stuff. We see BB-8 doing stuff. You have interactions with Leia. and different things, but there's no, like, it doesn't feel like it builds a universe or improves upon the Star Wars universe. It feels like, if anything, it just leeches from it, which kind of felt bad. But that's not to say it wasn't enjoyable, if that makes sense.
And so that's the key. That's the key for me. If it's Rebels was enjoyable, I haven't seen whatever the last two seasons were of Rebels, just because that's when I stopped.
Oh,
so but I know what happens. I actually know what happens.
That's the opposite for me. Rebels builds on the universe and adds to it.
Yes.
Whereas in Resistance doesn't feel like that.
That was
my
concern with Rebels when it came out, because when I heard that it was coming out on Disney XD, I was like, oh, they're going to do it. Because they'd already done that that Starfinder one or whatever it was, like, is the kitty Lego one. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be a kitty Star Wars show. But they completely surprised me. Like, sure, did you have a Space Whale episode? Yes. Yes, we had a Space Whale episode. Was that kind of meant for kids? Sure was. Okay, but if you can power through that, they had some really cool stuff with Darth Maul's character, Obi-Wan's character, the whole cast from Rebels. I mean, I was blown away by how well they were able to do that story, but I was expecting what it sounds like you got out of Resistance. Yeah. That's what I was expecting.
Yeah.
So Rebels was a huge surprise for me.
Oh. We'll revisit it again, Scott, once everyone's caught up after Disney XD comes out, but we'll probably be too busy talking about The Mandalorian to care at that point.
I can't wait.
That and the Cassian show, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah. And that
I'm less excited about the Cassian Andor show because I already know how it ends.
Well, I don't care how it ends. There's got to be a beginning. You know.
Yeah, and you're right. You're right. But okay, so this I know I've said this a thousand times before. My fundamental problem with prequels is I already know how they end.
Right.
So like, there's no tension. There's no buildup. Like, oh, is Cassian gonna get out? Yeah, I know he gets out. Oh, there's this sticky situation. I know he's gonna get out. I know he's gonna get out of it. So it doesn't build up that tension for me.
Well, but it'll build up the story of Cassian. You know.
Oh yeah, I agree.
The assassin, the saboteur, and then you know everybody around him. Whoever he's with probably either doesn't make it out.
What you mean, his best friend, the reliable droid K-1zo?
Yeah.
He'll be fine. He'll live through everything. We don't need to replace him.
Nope, not at all.
Right.
Please, God, if they have him on the show, Alan Tudyk has to come back.
He is confirmed.
He is, oh, thank God. He's one of my favorite. You said Firefly. He's one of my favorite actors.
You missed a joke, though, because obviously that's K-2zo.
Yeah. But, you know, that's... The good thing about it is, and I just want to throw this out there, I like the fact that Disney still wants to do Star Wars. You know, that after, you know, the controversy that came with the, whatever the movie was, Last Jedi or whatever, and then...
I don't know, Ryan Johnson.
You know, and then, you know, the controversy that comes with Solo, for whatever reason that was,
Because people didn't like Last Jedi. Because
people didn't like Last Jedi. There's nothing wrong with Star Wars. Solo movie. Still good.
There actually isn't. It's actually very good. I watched it twice in the last couple of weeks. And as I watch it more, the only thing I didn't like, and I love Paul Bettany as an actor.
Yeah.
I thought his acting in it was pretty crappy overall.
That was because of the reshoots, right? Like, there was another actor that played that role. When they went back for reshoots, he was not available, so Paul filled in for that.
Right. No, I get all that portion of it, but it's just... And like I said, I really love Paul Bettany as an actor, but...
Yeah, me too.
That was a role that didn't fit him. You know, out of all the choices, out of all the Star Wars movies ever, that's really and truthfully my only true complaint was just his character, but it's still good, you know?
It took two of my favorite actors of all time and put them in the same movie. Woody Harrelson and I lost the name. Why am I losing it? I want to say Louis Gossett Jr. It's not. It's who played Saul? Oh no, I'm thinking Saul. That was Rogue One. Never mind. But it brought Woody Harrelson into the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Thank you, Silas. I couldn't bring his name up. I was just Woody Harrelson. That came to mind.
You know, and if you want to talk
Tobias Beckett.
Tobias Beckett. Yeah, if you want to talk about an origin story, that was good enough, you know. And it give you a young Lando, which I would actually love to see a young Lando series.
Well, you know that was supposed to be a trilogy, right?
Yes.
So I'm gonna buy Last Shot, the Han Lando novel. I've not got it yet. So I just finished reading Away, Star Wars Allegiance.
Oh,
So
nice.
if you want this copy of Allegiance, check out the Dice Hit YouTube channel and watch a book review. I'm giving away this first edition copy. So
Ho,
yeah, there you go. Yeah. Easy. Plug, plug,
easy.
plug.
Plug, plug, plug.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's all the questions anyway. I was gonna say because we were in a rush doing like a fake episode, we didn't add something to a prize pool for this month, so I'm just gonna throw a load of stuff. So this one is for the Patreon. We do a draw every month, and some lucky person will win a Paul LaRue Lando event card. So we're not
Hey,
rolling the
that's
dice yet.
champion Paul LaRue to you,
It
man.
is champion Paul LaRue. He kicked ass and took names. So we'll draw this one on our recording on the 23rd. So
Yep, sounds good.
one more week. A shield upgrade, some of the regionals, focus tokens, and the T65 damage deck. So that's it in the
Ooh.
pool so far. I'll add some
You
more
can't have mine.
stuff.
I love mine.
I'll add more. Something else will get added on the next episode. So if you want to have a chance to win those, become a patron. Throw us a dollar and get more than a dollar's worth of stuff. Easy.
Absolutely. All right. So I got one last thing I want to do real quick. I do want to give a quick shout out to my loving and darling wife. My 41st birthday was this past weekend or this past week, and she got me something I had never seen before. These are 23 karat gold Star Wars cards from Score back in 96 and 97, which are all of the movie posters.
Yeah, I
And they
have
are,
those.
oh my God, they're beautiful. I've never
Yeah.
seen them before.
Yeah,
Are
they're
you giving them
awesome.
away on the show? What a gut.
No, hell no. These are going into my private collection, man. But I'm sure they're not worth a ton of money. I mean, because like you say, oh, they're 23 karat gold, but there's not a ton to them. But like, they're all the movie posters, and then there's one with Vader, and then there's the Shadows of the Empire one. I just wanted to give a shout out to my wife because it's
Yeah,
absolutely
those are
amazing.
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Those
they
are
are
awesome.
absolutely beautiful. So
Yeah, my
that's
daughter
what one of them
Amy.
looks like if you're actually watching on the.
Ooh.
And you probably can't see it because it's all metal, but
Oh, it's the
ooh,
embossed.
yeah.
It's good. Yeah,
Yeah, it's the embossed ones. There's the bounty hunters with Boba Fett. They have statistics on the back for the bounty hunters.
that's pretty cool.
It's like a baseball card. Like, ooh, Boba Fett.
Is.
This is the 96 Boba Fett. Whoa. So I just wanted to give a shout out to my wife. I wanted to at least kind of like geek out a little bit. These are probably going to find their way into my Star Wars case, but I just wanted to have them sitting nearby to look at them for a little bit because they're super cool. So love you. Thanks, Ash. All right, so that's going to do it for this this episode. I want to thank you guys for joining us. Sean, always good to talk to you, my friend.
Yep, it's great to be here. Looking forward to the next show so we can, maybe even reminisce a little bit about Chewbacca.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait. I do, of course, want to go toss a real tiny little plug in. Of course, Sean and I spent 2 hours yesterday playing Magic. Sean joined me for my YouTube channel, Old Guy Gaming, for some MTG Arena gameplay where we build a deck from beginning to end, play through some play testing, played against each other, and kind of came up with some decks on the final end of it. So I do want to give Sean another quick thank you for that. It was a ton of fun. And of course, it gave me material for the next 3 Fridays that we're going to do the deck building with Sean on. So if you want to hear us talk about something other than X-Wing, you can hop on over there and take a look, and he and I building some decks in Magic.
Yeah,
So thanks, Sean.
and if you want to hear more incoherent rambling from me, hey, join us.
Oh, it's oodles of fun. So thank you, Sean, for joining us.
If you want to hear more of us, you can check us out on our Patreon page, which is just Lack of Focus on Patreon. We do have content on there, which you don't actually have to be a patron to listen to. You just get earlier access if you are. And it's still pretty early, so we might blast through something else. I've got another topic we can talk about after this.
Uh-oh.
So we might be able to blast that through if everyone's up for it.
Yeah, sure. I got to check on the kiddos to make sure they're all asleep, but yeah, absolutely.
And then I quickly wanted to go through. Obviously, thanks everyone for listening. We really appreciate all of your support, even the non-patrons. We appreciate you too, just for listening.
Yeah, you guys rock.
We keep growing. We're still a small podcast compared to the heyday, but me and Sean were discussing this earlier, how happy we are with that we can just do what we want and don't get too much hassle anymore. But if you want to reach out to us, you can reach out to us through lackoffocuspodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook under Lack of Focus Podcast. And yeah, we have some nice little communities. There's a Dice Hate YouTube channel. There's a Dice Hate Discord as well, which is really, really quiet because I never tell people about it. But
First, I think I've heard that one.
Yeah, because I always forget. Yeah. It's there. There's loads of open voice channels, so you're all free to use that if you're like gaming online, want to chat, play a Vassal. I use it every time I'm playing on Vassal. I let my opponents have a Discord, but I'll make sure there's a link to that on the Facebook page, maybe, and people can join that if you want to. And yeah, I think that's all of my stuff and Chad's stuff. So.
At some point in time, I did have a conversation with him. He will be returning once his situation has improved. So we anxiously await his return. So
I'm just holding it, keeping it warm for him. It's still Chad's stuff.
Yep. No, absolutely. All right, guys. So we will catch you, I guess, in an InFocus here in a couple of minutes for us and a couple of days for you. And then, of course, we'll have our regularly scheduled show coming up, so we'll get back on our normal schedule. So thanks for joining us. And of course, guys, as always, fly casual. Thank you once again for joining the Lack of Focus X-Wing podcast. Check out Dice Hate Productions for all of the latest episodes, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again next episode.